The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
I've got the amazing Luke of the Wonder Cub here, and we are joined, as we are once a month, by the fabulous Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue to discuss all the tips and tricks we need to support our furry, feathery, flappy friends. And there's a reason that Luke brought Jacoby in today.
Yeah.
The topic that we're diving into is so that we can prove the positive effects of pets in the workplace. So thank you for being here again this morning.
Absolutely. Love being with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, obviously, we've brought a dog in here today. What has happened literally in the 10 minutes that you have been here at Joy?
Okay, so as soon as I walked through the door, I was greeted by this big hairy beast.
It was me.
And it wasn't Luke.
The other one.
He's slightly fairier, yeah. As far as I know, anyway. He is absolutely gorgeous. He jumped up. I sat down on a couch. He decided then it was his couch. He sat down next to me, took the whole space of the couch.
Yep.
I walked into the room, and then he's followed me around, had a sniff of my bag, smelt every single dog that's ever left a piece of fur there. He's scratched his collar during the news reading, which was fantastic. He's gorgeous, a lovely boy.
I would say the one thing that is consistent in the last hour of the show is we have not stopped smiling.
Absolutely.
There is something about a dog being in the studio that is making us smile. Is there some science behind this?
Yes, there is. Dogs make you calmer. Unless they're a stressful dog, then they can do the opposite. But look, they help to reduce your blood pressure. There's studies to show how good they are for your health. There's so many different benefits. And having a dog in the workplace, if it's a suitable dog, can help to reduce stress. The workplace can be a place where you do get stressed out for a number of reasons. So that's a huge benefit, having a dog with you to help reduce stress, make it a fun environment, and like you said, makes the day go a lot quicker.
Are there any sort of workplaces where you wouldn't recommend having a pet?
Yeah, look, I think it depends. It depends on the type of pet you're bringing along and the workplace itself. I guess you need to, there's a couple of things you need to be aware of. First of all, the people that are in the office, are they allergic to pets? Do they like dogs? Are they afraid of dogs? You know, that's something really important to consider. I wouldn't be taking an energetic dog to a place, say, where there's a lot of forklifts around, factories, those sort of things. It needs to be a safe environment. You know, maybe, for example, if your dog wasn't toilet trained, this sort of environment, probably not a good idea. Lots of cords, electronics around, urine doesn't go very well with those things.
Yep.
So lots of things to consider.
What about things like sounds? So, for example, you see a lot of people like tradies taking dogs onto construction sites and that sort of thing. Sometimes they'll stay on the back of the ute or like sleep under the shade of the ute and that sort of thing. Is that a safe place for dogs? Like, will it do any damage to things like their hearing?
Look, sound, if you do work at a workplace where there are really loud sounds, that can be a concern. But I guess a lot of dogs that go onto trade sites, a lot of them have gone there from an early age. So they have been accustomed, they're used to those sort of environments. And I guess you wouldn't bring the wrong type of dog to those workplaces because you don't want a dog running onto the road, running onto, you know, things like sharp bits and pieces. Mm. So you need a dog that actually has some sort of training involved or a way to be able to securely contain them.
Yeah. Now, Jacoby is a rescue dog. He was, how old was he when you got him?
He was 6.5.
Yeah.
We rescued him from Bendigo Animal Rescue.
Right.
And yeah, he was left there. His owners moved to the city and decided they didn't want to take him with and also said he was aggressive, which turned out to not be true in our experience with Jacoby. But yeah, had him for just about a year and a half now.
Yeah. So at what point, if you were to rescue a dog, would you know if they are suitable for a workplace?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I guess whether you rescue a dog or purchase a dog from anywhere, I guess the main thing is training is really important. Training is not really about the dog learning things. It's about the human learning things, if that makes sense. So the training will help you to get a better understanding of your pet, what your pet needs, how to understand your pet, you know, those sort of things. So I think putting the time and effort into understanding your pet and the training involved is so important for a number of different things. But that will also be able to tell you whether they're suitable or not for a work environment.
Yeah, and with a rescue as well, like from personal experience, it's they have a lot of things they've already learned. Like he was 6.5 when I got him, so he had a whole life before we got Kobe. And, you know, the first few months we kept saying to people, we're still getting to know each other, you know, and learning all of his little quirks and things that he reacts to or doesn't react to. And he didn't have much training at all. He could sit and that's about it. So it's been a bit of a journey in terms of getting him walking better and even just doing like little things like high-fiving for a treat and things like that. So,
and I guess depending, a lot of the time when we get dogs coming into our rescues, sometimes we would rescue them from the pound where we may not have a history about what their life was like before. But a lot of the times when an animal surrendered to us from a previous owner, for whatever reason, sometimes things just happen in life and you can't look after your pet, then we're generally given a bit more of a history. So we know a little bit more about the dog, what's happened, what sort of training they have, you know, what they like and don't like. But sometimes you don't have that. So you have to start from scratch.
We're going to find out a bit more about what it takes to bring a pet into a workplace right after this. You are on Joy Breakfast with Luke and Rach, joined by Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue.
If you only get a chance to laugh your ass off once a day, then lock it on Joy Breakfast.
It is 17 minutes past 8 on your Monday morning and you're with Rach and Luke and Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue and squeaking in the background, you'll hear your Kobe.
Good timing.
Now, we are talking about the benefits of pets in the workplace and I can 100% say right now, my soul is very happy. I am a happy Larry.
I don't definitely know, makes life better.
Why are we
it?
Happy as Larry? Why is that a saying? Anyway, I'm happy as Larry right now. Now, Marissa, you said there are actual, like, if you don't have a pet, there is a way to get pets to your workplace.
There sure is. So at Second Chance, we run a program called the Paws at Work program. So every now and again, we have animals that come in that are pregnant. They give, you know, dogs that are pregnant, they give birth, and then we have a litter of puppies. When those puppies are still, you should see Rachel's face right now. The smile is from ear to ear. When those puppies are a suitable age and they can be vaccinated, we then bring them into workplaces. We ask for a donation. It helps our charity run. And then you should see people's faces. Nobody calls in sick on the days that puppies are coming into work. So you get an hour of playtime, stress-free fun. It's great for, you know, making sure that employees have that stress relief. And as I said, everybody is there that day.
Do you only just bring one puppy at a time, or can you bring, like, if you had a litter with numerous puppies?
We bring a litter. So anywhere,
so you can lay on the ground and literally sure be that can. Meme where they, that's what we aim for.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm just picturing you, is it American Beauty with all the petals and the flowers? But it's like you, but like puppies, like falling.
Perfect.
That would actually be
a
dream.
What? It's not as fun sometimes, though, because they'll all start grabbing pieces of hair, pieces of fur. They would be biting you and pulling you in different directions.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, good.
It's the only biting I'm into. Now, with pets in the workplace, is it just dogs that you recommend, or can there be benefits to having some other maybe permanent pets in a workplace?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I think, first of all, it depends on the pet. So every pet is very different. Not every dog is suitable. Your Kobe is having a great time with that squeaky ball
best
behind me.
Best time ever. Thanks, John.
So not every dog is suitable for the workplace, and most cats aren't, but every now and again you get a cat that's really outgoing, that is happy to be walked on a lead, or, you know, good with new environments. So they're totally fine. You know, I've been in a workplace where there's someone brought their snake or their bearded dragon.
Wow.
You know, it really depends, you know, what the pet's like, if they're okay in new environments, and if you can safely contain them during the day.
Yeah, fair enough. What about things like you see like childcare centres and stuff, and they've got like communal pets? I don't know, is that the right word for it? Where they've got like a classroom pet and then sometimes people will take it home on the weekends or whatever and it has to go to like the different families. What do you think about that as an idea? Is that a smart thing to do, or are there concerns involved with a pet going from place to place?
Look, again, it really depends on the pet. Some pets, like look at your Kobe here today, he is totally fine and he's happy because his dad's here. He's happy to be around a new environment, but some dogs just would not cope with the change. So it really is an individual thing. One other thing that you made me think about is fostering in the workplace. You know, there's so many animals out there that come into shelters that we need foster homes to be able to take them in and look after them and save their lives, essentially. So fostering, if we don't have enough foster homes, a workplace environment, why wouldn't that work? So it's a group team effort. You're looking after a dog. People can, you know, alternate with who takes it home or looks after it for the day. And then as soon as that dog has a home, off it goes. Next one comes in. Or you never know, you might actually find your new best friend that way.
That is such a good idea. And as well, it gets to meet heaps of different people. Mm-hmm. And also it, oh my gosh, yeah, my soul.
So many different ways to help.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. So I think end of the day, having dogs in the workplace or pets in the workplace is a great idea.
Yeah, it's tick by me.
Tick by Marissa. Now, we are coming up to the silly season, and I don't know if we should get you back in before Christmas, but do you have any tips at this point where we're getting into, like, setting up for the silly season that we should be aware of?
Look, I think this is a huge conversation and there's definitely lots of different things to be aware of coming into the holiday period. But I guess the main thing would be, if I had to pick one thing, would be, again, to put time and effort into your dog. If we're talking dogs specifically, put time and effort into your dog's training to ensure that they listen when needed. For example, you know, there's a lot of people that will be on holidays having barbecues in the park. A lot of people will, you know, cook things on the barbecue that are just not okay for dogs, you know, cooked onions, fatty foods, those sort of things. A lot of the time near my park anyway, there's cooked onions on the floor or bones, those sort of things. My dog, if he didn't listen, he would be over there eating it, and then I'm dealing with huge vet bills, a very sick animal. So ensuring that you're putting time and effort into your dog's training, that they listen when called, they have recall, those sort of things, that's a really important thing. But there's so many different parts that we could talk about. Maybe we can chat about that in the next one.
I think we will definitely dive into that next time. There is a lot to discuss because it's not just food that happens. There's everything. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Marissa, for joining us. Yeah. And thanks, Jacoby, for keeping us smiling and the sound effects. Exactly. We did get a message saying we should have a parrot in the studio. I feel like.
Why not? Oh, as long as you teach them some fun words, which I'm sure we could help with.
Joy, 94.9.
It's like you're doing your job.
Yeah, exactly. Who needs me anymore? You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Luke. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.